So we're going to try to have some fun today, but you know, I've been in this series now for the last couple weeks. This will be the third week on finding different things to trust God for that will make 2022 the best year ever. And I think it's an important perspective that I'm trying to give you. It's not looking at politics and thinking that's going to be amazing. It's not looking at the stock market and thinking that's going to be amazing, because it just depends on the day if that's amazing or horrible, right? But it's looking to God. It's looking at the God that can give you peace and strength and hope and joy as we walk through this life. It's seeing it from His perspective. It's living for eternity. It's all the things that we've talked about in this series. And today we're going to talk about the last piece of this that is really super important, but it is one of the more challenging ones to talk about. It's one of the more challenging ones to hear. And we're going to talk about this whole area of what God wants us to do with the things that He's given us, right? The finances, the treasures, the possessions, all that kind of stuff. In many ways, I think this is maybe even the most important of the three. And it's not just me who thinks that. Jesus, in fact, just says this in Matthew 6:21. He says, your heart. And what does God care about? What does God look at as you walk through life? What does He look at on Judgment Day? He looks at your heart. He says, your heart is where your treasure is. There just seems to be this weird link between our finances and our heart. And I've shared this before. Every action that we ever do in life is based on faith. It's based on something that we're trusting. Even our sin is based on something that we're trusting at the moment. I'm trusting I'm not going to get caught. I'm trusting this won't be bad for me. I'm trusting whatever. But every action that we do in this life is based on some kind of belief system that's behind it. Our spending, our giving, same thing. It shows what's truly important to us in this life. And because money makes the world go round, because money can buy happiness or whatever, you know, all the different sayings that are in our culture today, money seems to be one of those things, because of our incredible love for it, that just makes having this conversation hard. So in each of the things I've talked about how God can bring peace and strength and hope in your life. And so each of the things I'm talking about, because I'm going to go through some of the things that God shares with us in His Word about finances, I want you to think in terms of the anxiety and the stress and the worry, sometimes the fear that's associated, and how some of these things that God gives us are a remedy for all of those things, so that instead of the worry and stress and anxiety and fear, we experience more of God's peace in our life. Because that's what He wants. He wants us to trust Him with more and more stuff as we go through this life. And there's some simple things that God gives us in His Word. I mean, Dave Ramsey makes so much money on this stuff, but there's so much stuff in His Word that just kind of outlines how we can experience, at different levels, more peace, more strength, more hope as we look forward. Now, this is a big area. I mean, again, not only does Jesus talk about it, but it also is because of this linkage between our hearts and money. It won't surprise you to find out that our finances, or arguments over our finances, are still the number one cause of divorce in our country today. I mean, this has been number one for years. Like, it seems like we'd figure this out and go, okay, one of the first things that we could you turn me down just a tad, Brian, up there? One of the things that we learned right from the very beginning is, hey, well, let's figure out how we're going to do finances as we're getting married. We know this is the number one cause of divorce, so let's figure this out now. It'd be like super helpful. But because we don't, because we struggle being honest, or we struggle kind of investing in that kind of conversation, it tears couples apart when they're not on the same page of this. USA Today did a poll one time and said that 3/4 of Americans worry about finances every single day. Again, just to illustrate the stress and the worry that goes behind all this stuff. We talk about all sorts of stuff on a regular basis in church, how God brings us peace, how He brings us strength to deal with life as it comes. It would be insane not to deal with one of the topics that brings 3/4 of you guys to stress and worry on a regular basis. So not surprisingly, stress over finances is a big deal in our world today. And the truth is, when it comes to this issue of materialism, if you're not concerned about it yourself, I bet you're concerned about it for your kids. I did youth ministry for a lot of years. Mike's been doing it for a lot of years. And we could tell you story after story of parents, especially when we send them on mission trips, how appreciative they were when the kids got back because they went to a poor part of Mexico, or we went to different places in Honduras and just different parts of the country and parts of the world, and you come back and they just go, man, Dad, they didn't have anything. I mean, they just, there was people living in boxes on the side of the road. It helps them look at what they have differently. It helps them appreciate what we experience in America differently. And so I know a lot of parents that are concerned, especially over the materialism of their kids. So today we're going to spend some time looking at God's financial plan. And he gives it to us in his word. And I'm going to give you four scriptural habits that God gives us that when we follow them, give us more peace, less stress, less worry, less fear, more peace in our life. And so let's just kind of go through them. And one of the first things that God gives us, and he again starts right at the very beginning. And I want you to think about this in your own life. He says, keep good records. Now, you're kind of thinking about this. What's the spiritual component of this? But we'll call this the principle of accounting. In Proverbs 27, verse 23 and 24, Solomon writes, riches can disappear fast, so watch your business interests closely. Know the state of your flocks and your herds. Now, most of us don't have flocks and herds in America today, but back in the day they did. Everybody was a rancher or shepherd or farmer, and it was, for so many, their assets were tied up in the condition of their flocks, in the condition of their sheep. I mean, that was just it. It was a huge part of the economy. And so he says, know the condition of your flocks. Today it's probably kind of a weird thing, so I'm going to change it. And I'll say, know the condition of your stocks. See what I did? Flocks, stocks. Anyway, know the condition of your savings, of your retirement, all those different things. Because the truth is, we have assets in different areas than they did back in the day. But the idea is still the same, to know where your money is going, to know where it's coming from, to be conscious, to be aware. Because when you know your state of affairs, it does what? It reduces stress. It just does. And God says this is always the starting point. I'll give you an example from my life. One of the things that we implemented a long time ago is we, you know, put all our stuff in Quicken, right? And we update it, and we make sure it's reconciled, we make sure everything goes in there, and then we reconcile when we get the statement, and we do all those different things. When I go too long without putting all that stuff in, I get a little bit anxious, like, I think I have enough money. I think this is okay. I think. But when I do Quicken, and I can see where everything's gone, I can see where all the money kind of lines up. I can see that it's balanced. Even if it was a bad day doing Quicken, right? I know where I stand. And that reduces stress. The biggest fear that we have in life is the fear of the unknown. I mean, that's one of the biggest fears. And we create all this catastrophic stuff when we think about the unknown. But when we're dealing with real facts, even hard facts are preferable to the unknown, and it reduces stress. So let me just ask you this question. Are you ever in a spot where you think, oh, I just don't know where all my money's going, right? I have three girls in my house, and sometimes I'll go to the bank, and I'll get $100, and I'm so excited. I got $100 in my wallet. This is good stuff. And then I'll go back and look at my wallet, and there's like $5. I don't know what happens. I had $100, and now I have $5, and I start thinking, where did it all go? And I start asking each one of them, did you guys borrow some money? Did you guys, honey, did you take some? I just don't know where it all goes sometimes, but if you're ever asking that question, it should be a huge warning light going on and off, blinking red and white and whatever colors, letting you know that there's a problem. You don't know where all your money's going, right? It's going to cause stress and worry in your life until you get that fixed. You're not keeping good records. People say money talks. Maybe it does, I guess, if you're bribing somebody, but usually for most of us, it just kind of walks away. It doesn't even tell us that it's leaving either. It just kind of slips away and we don't know where it all went. So in Proverbs 23:23, it says, get the facts at any price. In other words, it's important to be realistic. Asking the question, how are we really doing financially as a couple? That's a great question to begin a new year. How are we doing financially as an individual? Another great question. And those are great questions because if you don't know where you're going, if you're not keeping good records, that's when we get into trouble. When we're just guessing at our finances, that's when we get into trouble. So here's a formula you should know. Ignorance plus easy credit equals disaster. Because you're going to be spending more than you make, getting further and further in debt until one day you wake up and there's a real, real problem in your life. I've been a pastor for nearly 25 years now, and I've done a lot of counseling over the years. And when I counsel couples, invariably, one of the things that come up is we're struggling with financial stuff. She does it one way, I do it a different way. We're not meeting agreement. He's hiding stuff, she's hiding stuff. I found that in talking with so many couples that so many major problems occur when one partner is keeping the other partner in the dark when it comes to finances. And you'd be blown away to know how often this happens. Both people don't know in the family what we owe, what we own, what we earn, where it's going. And I'm telling you, that's a recipe not only for financial disaster, but for marital discord. It creates distrust. It creates worry, needless worry. It creates stress. So one of God's first points is you need to keep good records. Write it down. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't have time to do this, and I get that. But there's so many good programs. Quicken's one of them, but you could just write it down in a book and keep track, and there's just so many good ways to do it. Pastor, I don't have time to do this, and so I'll give you a perspective thing. Do you have time to worry about your finances? Apparently, 3/4 of you do it. If you have time to worry about it, you have time to write this stuff down, to keep good records. In fact, if you wrote it down, if you kept better records, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. Because instead of fearing or wondering or worrying, you at least know exactly where you were. This is one of the things God gives us in his words, and it seems super basic, right? But if more people would do this, they'd experience less stress. There's people I know that still go to the ATM to find out how much money they have in their account. Did you know that's not a good way to actually get an accurate accounting of what's in your account? Keeping good records does so much to decrease the stress in your life in this area. Okay, he goes on and gives us another one. Plan your spending. This is the principle we call budgeting. In other words, you have to set some financial goals, and here's the trick with that. You need to stick to them. This is super important. And some of you are already doing that. You're crushing this whole area, and that's outstanding. But there's a lot of people that are just kind of drifting along, paying this bill, buying this expense, doing this, doing that, and not really knowing, still just guessing, but not really having any clear goals, not really having any clear records, any clear parameters. I was talking to a gal after first service. She says, well, I just kind of pay my bills when they come in. I said, that's great, but unless you have a goal for savings, it's hard to actually ever develop the savings. Unless you start saving for your, I don't know, your vacation, it's hard to come up with the money to actually go on vacation. Then you're always putting it on credit, and you're always paying off the bills, and you're never catching up, and you're just kind of drifting along. But hear me say this. This is too important an area. It may be too important a time in our culture, right, to be doing this. And so I pray that this is the year you get your financial house in order. And I mean that seriously. Don't just keep going drifting and guessing along, because history shows that's when we get into trouble. In Proverbs 1:5, it says, plan carefully and you'll have plenty. But if you act too quickly, you will never have enough. So if you don't get anything else I say today, I want you to get this. Financial freedom is not based on how much you earn. It's based on how you spend it. That's it. It's just simple math. You can make 3 times what you're making right now, but if you're still spending more than you make, you're still going in the wrong direction. Again, it's still just simple math. And so if you don't know how to live within your means now, what makes you think when you're going to earn 3 times more or whatever it is, that things are going to get better? Study after study shows that they just don't. You just find new expenses. There's people that call Dave Ramsey that are making like $300,000 a year, and they're still in massive debt. I don't even know how that happens. But what you're doing is you're developing a habit that you're always going to spend more than you make. And so freedom is not, I'm just going to have to make this amount of money to be financially free. No, it's about planning your spending. I read this week that the average American spends 6 hours a week in shopping-related activities. I know some of you are way above average, just in a whole bunch of areas, right? I also read this, that the more educated you are, the more you tend to shop. It's kind of like we went to the University of Dillard's or to the mall to get our education. I don't know. But here's the key. If you're spending all that money, and it's okay to spend money, hear me say that, then you better be planning your spending. If you want to reach goals in your life, if you want to retire someday, if you want to have a savings, if you want to have an emergency plan, if you want to have any of these things that reduce stress, again, it says plan carefully and you'll have plenty. Act too quickly and you'll never have enough. One of the things that Solomon's talking about here is impulse buying. At least that's the way I'd equate it to today. And impulse buying is unplanned spending. It's based on emotions, right? It's done often without really even thinking, oh, this looks cool, or I'm sad, I need to be happy, or whatever it is. It's based on emotions. But the Bible again says if you act too quickly, you'll never have enough. And so how do you break the habit of impulse buying or spending more than you've got? You spell it budget, right? B-U-D-G-E-T. Because then it says, I have this much to spend on this kind of stuff, or I have this much to spend on this kind of stuff, but I just don't go blowing through 5 or 6 elements of my budget. I confine it within the one. A budget is simply planned spending. A budget is telling your money where you want it to go rather than wondering where it went. And everybody needs a budget. If you want to break the habit of spending more than you've got, if you want to build resistance to sales, if you want to build resistance to impulse buying, again, you got to nip it in the budget. God gives us this wisdom. And again, think of it in terms of your stress. Are you more worried about your roof going out if you don't have any savings? If you haven't planned any savings, any kind of reserve to pay for that roof when it goes out, or your air conditioner, or an unplanned medical expense? A lot of us are freaked out by all that kind of stuff because we don't have a plan if something really goes wrong. And guess what? In life, does that stuff go wrong? So God gives us this to, again, take away our stress, reduce our fear, and give us actually actionable things to do. He goes and gives us another one. Save for the future. We call this one the principle of savings. In Proverbs 21, verse 20, it says, the wise man saves for the future. I read recently that the average Japanese family saves 25% of their income, puts it in the bank. The average European family saves 18% of their income, puts it in the bank. The average American family saves less than 4% of their income, puts it in the bank. Why? Because we're spending it all trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're one of the most materialistic countries in the world today. They just refinanced, but you know what? They got that new kitchen, and we got to figure out how to get that new kitchen, so we got to do something too. But we're not saving. The Bible says the wise man saves for the future. In Proverbs 13, verse 11, it says, money that comes easily disappears quickly, but money that is gathered little by little will grow. You know, there's been studies done on lottery winners. They did a study one time on all the lottery winners in Florida for a period of time, and that over 80% of them were penniless after 10 years. That doesn't even make sense. They're winning millions of dollars penniless within 10 years. Again, it says, money that comes easily disappears quickly. Do you know the Bible says that? So it says, don't get involved in get-rich-quick schemes, right? Many times Proverbs says, don't get involved in these kind of schemes, right? Because they're a recipe for disaster. Instead, it says, add it up little by little. That is a consistent, regular savings. You need to set goals. You need to have some savings goals, some giving goals, all things. And so I'll just ask you, what am I going to save this year in 2022 to take away some of the stress of the unforeseen? In Proverbs 6, it talks about that. It says, watch the ant. They're smarter than human beings. They go out in the summer and they store up little by little so that when the harsh winter comes, they're well fed. It's the principle of setting a little aside so that you're prepared no matter what kind of storm comes your way, no matter what kind of crisis comes your way. And that's being legitimate, intelligent financial planning. Save for the future, it says. So again, each of the things I've talked about takes away stress. If you do it right, that's why Dave Ramsey has a job. He's sharing all these things over and over and over with people, trying to get them to understand. But there's one more that God gives to, and that's return the first 10%. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you just made all those other things a lot harder. Return the first 10%. It's the principle of tithing. I'll give you a story. Several years ago, when my kids were littler, we had a couple across the street before they moved to Texas that we hung out with a lot. And one night we were just talking about different things. And the lady, they were nominal Christians, but they knew I was a pastor and they knew we tithe. And so they said, do you really tithe like 10%? And I said, oh yeah, we do. And she said, just ballpark, what does that look like? And I told her the number. And her eyes got big and the craziest thing happened. She got mad at me. She says, how can you do that to your family? I mean, you could be going on vacations. You could be buying new furniture for your house. You could be doing all these things. Why in the world would you give that much to the church? She was mad, right? She thought we could be doing more. And I thought about it for a second. I said, you know, I think you give to what's important to you. And for Beth and I, the most important thing in our lives is God. It just is. I mean, he's blessed us with so many stuff. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He's asked us to give him 10%, so we do. And we haven't really thought about it. And to be honest, we're doing great. I mean, that's part of the tithing too. He says he'll open up the storehouses of heaven and provide for you. I said, the reality is we've been doing it so long, we don't even miss it. It's just part of our budget. I said, ultimately, I think you just give to what's, you know, really important to you. Proverbs 3, verse 9 through 10, it says this, honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. He says, bring the first fruits. Give the first 10% back to him. The principle is you put God first in your finances, and he will help you. He will bless you. He will take care of you. It's his promise. we look to the scriptures for so many of his promises. We try to trust more and more in his promise so that we can experience peace. The thing that God gives us in this tithing is he says, I'll take care of you. I mean, you do this and I'm on your financial team. I'm working with you. I'm blessing it. I'm working behind the scenes. I'll take care of you. I will provide, he says. And if you don't believe him, he says, test me in this and see if I won't do it. Ask anybody who tithed and see if they haven't seen the blessings of God in spades in their life. In fact, the Bible teaches us that there's three purposes for tithing, and I hit a little bit upon them in the story, but there's a past purpose. Number one, it just shows our gratitude. It says, God, I'm so thankful for the way you've taken care of me. I'm so thankful for the way you've provided up to this point in my life. I'm so thankful for this house that you give me, or this apartment, or this car, or this family. I'm so thankful for the way that you've been with me. And I want to give back to you as a result of it, just to say thank you. There's a present one as well. And this is maybe the big thing for me, but it says in Deuteronomy 14:23 that the purpose of tithing, and you'll be surprised to hear that it's not to support the church, okay? It says this in 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in every area of your life. Has that purpose gone away? The more materialistic we've got, do you think this purpose has gone away in God's eyes? No. He's teaching us to revere him all the days of our life, to put him first in more areas in our life, to trust him with more in our life so that we'll experience more peace in our life. That's what's behind this. So when I write out a check and I'm giving it to God, I'm saying, God, you're the first thing, first most important thing in the area of my finances, but I want you to be the first thing in my marriage. I want you to be the first thing in my family. I want you to be the first thing in my business. I want you to be the first thing in my recreation. All of it, God, I want you to be first. I mean, we call him God, right? He should be our first love. And that's what he calls us to. And then there's a third thing for the future, demonstrates faith. You know, we like to have it all in our control. And so giving to him demonstrates trust. God, I'm giving this to you, realizing that you promised to bless me back and take care of me. I'm going to trust you to do what you've said. Kind of like the old man who was walking across the Mojave Desert one time. He was dying of thirst. He came upon this old, rickety, about 60-year-old handle pump out there in the desert. Didn't even look like it was going to work, but there was this little sign, and engraved on the sign it said this: if you're thirsty, dig 1 foot down into the ground, and there's a glass jar filled with water. Take the glass jar and pour it into the pump, and pump like crazy for a minute and a half, and you'll have all the water that you'll ever need. Then fill up the glass and bury it for the next person. The man came to this sign and this pump, and he had to decide, right? The pump needed to be primed in order for it to work. And so the question was he going to drink the water that he could count on that was in his hand? Or was he going to prime the pump so that he'd have all the water he'd ever need? What would you do? If you knew the sign was written by God and not by man, would that change your answer? What would you do? Because in a sense, that's what the Bible teaches tithing is. Tithing is saying to God, God, I have faith in you. I trust when you said this is in your word. I trust this promise that you've given me. I trust that it's true. And so I'm going to prime the pump. And I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to take that first 10% right off the top. And I'm going to give it back to you in trust. Trusting you to see what happens. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put him first, and all these other things will be added unto you. God says, if you put me first, I will take care of you. If you trust my promises, trust my word, I will give you peace and strength and hope and joy in this life. And guys, it's those promises, whether it's this or whether it's giving him first in our time or living for eternity or any of those things, it's trusting him with more in our life that allows us to experience his love, his power, his grace, his peace, his strength in a whole different way. It allows us to have a different perspective as we're living this life. It gives us the strength to endure even hard things. And that's what's going to make 2022 better. It's not the external things, it's God. It's trusting him more so that no matter what comes, we know that God's got us. And that's my prayer for you guys today. And that's my prayer for you guys in the midst of this whole series. Trust him for more in your life. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, this next part, we're just going to do something in just a few seconds. And I sent a letter out this week and stuff to really get you thinking about this whole idea of putting Him first in your finances. But we're going to bring our first commitments, and this is for members only, unless God's moved you in some way and you guys can come forward. It's between you and God for the most part, right? It's you bringing forward your commitment to God. My prayer is that you've challenged yourself in some way this year to trust Him for more. If you're giving 1%, I pray you trust Him for 2%. If you've been doing 10%, yay you, that's awesome. May God bless you abundantly. But just that you would trust Him for more so that you could experience more of the peace that He has for you, more of the blessing that He's promised you. So we're going to spend the next few minutes bringing it forward during this next song. And so my prayer is this: may God be with you, and may God bless you in whatever you've decided. And all God's people said, amen.